Carolina Outdoor Show is brought to you by The Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's.
Here we are over here.
Here we are here. I was going to make that into a song. I don't think that worked out quite right.
Sing that song. That could be a song. Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. We're glad that you're waking up with WBT if you're waking up on a Saturday morning. If you're not, we're glad that you're plugged in and listening to us via the podcast, available at jessebrowns.com. Better yet, just go over there and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all of those kind of social media platforms, because we try to post, well, we do post these segments up for your listening pleasure, but we also try to stay connected and that sort of thing with all of our listeners along the way. Here on the Carolina Outdoors, our charge is maybe to inspire you to do something that you haven't done before. But oftentimes we color outside the lines and we get into all kind of different subject matters. As you know, if you're a listener to the Carolina Outdoors, we do all of like that. Christopher Lyons on the right hand of your radio dial. I'm Bill Barty. Don Yeager is out and about, hopefully enjoying our Carolina Outdoors. But Christopher, hey, you can carry the load over there.
Carry the load.
You're our Charlotte sign man.
Yeah, I am. I love some old signs.
So the Charlotte Sign Project is your project. We've talked to you on this very radio broadcast, the Charlotte Sign Project. So that is kind of the recognition and the preservation of Charlotte signs.
It is. Yes. Started 2010 photography project just last summer. So 2017, that photography project became a book. And since then, I've been selling the book, getting the word out, making people aware of our history and saving some signs too.
So Charlotte Signs of the Times is the book. That was kind of a culmination of 7 years of effort. 7 years worth of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the signs are still standing. Some of the signs that are celebrated and recognized and photographed in the book are not standing or in storage. Maybe they're mm-hmm. destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of an archive for you and for us to utilize that book so we could go to it and say, I remember that. What are some of the things that people say to you about memory lane in regards to Charlotte Signs of the Time?
I hear a lot of first date stories. Well, not the stories about the first date, but about where they went. So different restaurants, different movie theaters. Even talked to a lot of people who can remember getting their coal and ice from Heron Brothers Coal and Ice over in the Noda area that we call that area now. So there's a lot of memories, like I said, first dates, people going somewhere to eat after church on Sunday, people that they knew growing up, you know, oh, this person's dad ran this, or this person's mom's family ran this restaurant or business. So it's been fun, met a lot of people. Like I said, heard a lot of stories, and I've learned a lot more about Charlotte through the people that have lived it and the architecture itself.
Good call. And I know Charlotte, it's Charlotte-centric. So if you're a native to Charlotte or have lived here for a bit of time, I'm sure that catches people's attention, those people's mm-hmm. attention the most. But have there been people who are in the area, not just Charlotte people? Maybe they've moved out of the area, but they have had a bit of fandom with the Charlotte Signs Project and Charlotte Signs of the Times, the book, who live outside of Charlotte now?
Oh, definitely. So last weekend, I was down in Matthews at Renfro Hardware, and they were talking about the book, and the Blackleys really enjoyed seeing some pictures and some restaurants that they used to go to, and I think some that they still do. As far as the book itself, with the news and the press that the project has gotten and received, I've shipped books to Texas, I've shipped books to Washington State, to I think even Oregon, maybe one in California, New York, far down south. So it's been all around the country, one shipment at a time. So that's been fun as well to hear and to network with people, not just from the area, people that live elsewhere.
Well, hey, we hang our hat over at Jesse Brown's in the Sharon Corner Shopping Center in the South Park area of Charlotte, North Carolina. We have the book for sale there. You can stop by there and grab it. Also available at Park Road Books in the Park Road Shopping Center. Also Paper Skyscraper, other places like that. So contact us at Jesse Brown's for more information on that and where books are sold, where that particular book is sold. I'm glad you mentioned Renfro's Hardware. They're good listeners to the Carolina Outdoor program, but they are also, David Blackley, the owner of Renfro's Hardware, is also an alum of Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's. And we have an upcoming Storytellers Night February 1st from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We'll have some food and drinks. We'll clear out a side of the store, make it comfortable, living room type setting. And then we have three brand new storytellers who will take 20 minutes each to tell their adventure story. We've had many of them on the Carolina Outdoors to talk about their adventures or their interesting, extraordinary lives that they lead. But here they are, Into Africa by Jeremy Early on February 1st, starting off at 6. Jeremy's going to kick us off with his tales of trail building and also his work with the Lunch Project, which does work in Tanzania. That's going to be followed up by Fly Like a Girl, Kim Yokel. She's going to be there to tell us about her life in ski racing and that sort of thing, but maybe more especially her life as a aviation person, flying these airplanes and the death-defying adventures that that can bring about by itself. And then lastly, we're going to have Brendan Pierce, who's going to tell his story, Rockfall on Rainier, which is a harrowing adventure story regarding Brendan and six other Charlotte friends who went out to Mount Rainier in Washington State and took on that mountain. We'll learn about their successes, about their failures, about their fears, and about the dangers of Mount Rainier out in Washington. So join us for Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's. It is Thursday, February 1st. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. We'll be out of there before 8 p.m., but I always like pointing out people like David Blackley, extraordinary person who told his story growing up with Renfro's Hardware. It was too good. Christopher, we got a full program today. We're going to talk a whole bunch about things going on in our community here on the Carolina Outdoors. We've got Tina Postel who's going to join us with Loaves and Fishes. We got Scouting for Food that's going to be kicking off the collection February 3rd. We're going to find out how we can help neighbors out in our Charlotte community by participating in Scouting for Food with the Boy Scouts of America and Loaves and Fishes. What's that all about? Also, have you heard about the movie Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri?
I've seen the trailer. I need to go see it. Oh,
it sounds like a tough topic, but listen.
Sure does.
You know, North Carolina was in pursuit of showbiz with success. Iron Man 3 was filmed here. The Hunger Games was filmed here. Sleepy Hollow, Dawson's Creek, all of those sorts of things were filmed in North Carolina. But in recent years, there's kind of been a pursuit of smaller budget films, so to speak. One of which, $15 million, is what it took to film Three Billboards Outside Ebbing. It was filmed in western North Carolina, Silva, Dillsboro, places like that, Jackson and Buncombe County. Part of it was an allurement of a $3-plus million grant that North Carolina and the North Carolina Film Commission and that sort of thing put together. But that movie has made an excess of $50 million and counting, and it's been critically acclaimed. So we're going to talk to Guy Gaster a bit about Visit North Carolina and about NC Film and how all of that works. Plus, we'll learn a little bit about our ability to go up to Silva, to Dillsboro, and do a three-day tour of where the film took place. Also, this has been in the news, too. People eating donuts isn't news. But maybe a Tide Pod donut is news. Wake and Bake donuts out of Wilmington and Carolina Beach. Danny Tangredi is going to be on the program to talk about the social media stir that has come from that particular donut. All of that and more here on the Carolina Outdoors. He's Christopher Lawing. I'm Bill Barti. TJ Boggs is pushing buttons over there. We'll be back with more after this.